This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We were talking about the LeBron James, Stephen A. Smith debate. Someone on the text line says, these are a bunch of entitlement multimillionaires crying like little babies over a children's game. I'm here to tell you that some of your favorite athletes act this way privately to people that in the media locally. I'm here to tell you that right now. It's just, it comes with the game. It comes with it. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't upset me.
I mean, you keep looking at me. I haven't been introduced.
I'm about to talk to you next. I'm looking at you because I'm getting ready. I was answering that. I wanted to put a bow on that conversation.
I hear the awkward pause.
I was in the middle of talking. You then looked at me. You hit me up with, I don't like that you said thing X before. That's just the game. That's what happens sometimes.
I don't throw out the word entitlement. Like those trigger words. I stay away from them. You know me long enough.
I'm not here to trigger you.
You shouldn't be.
You want me to give you your introduction?
Let's do it.
You have the open forum?
You know Rob ain't.
Rob doesn't even have the open. Rob's slacking. Oh, he said it got deleted. That's what he said. He said he deleted your open. You want me to give you an introduction anyway?
Nah.
We're happy to go through.
You don't even want nothing. Nah. I've been deleted. Blocked.
Do you think that you definitely didn't be blocked? You're right here before, so you definitely weren't blocked. Do you think that Rob deleted it or do you think the man deleted it?
First Johnny Dare, then Barbershop. Corporate.
Right now, you caught me off guard with that one. Right now, we're in studio with Sean Barber here. All right, there are a lot of NFL stories that I would like to get your thoughts and opinion on. Why don't we start locally, and then we'll go to some of the national storylines.
Love it.
I think the Chiefs were at a fork in the road. They really only had two choices with Joe Tooney. You either had to do what they did and trade Joe Tooney, given his cap hit. His cap hit was $26.9 million for this upcoming season. You were not paying that for a left guard. So you either had to trade him, which is ultimately what they did, or you had to reach a extension with him to kind of spread that cap number out just a little bit. I think the Chiefs clearly made a choice. They went with Trey Smith over the 33-year-old. I don't think that in any way this was sort of a feeling, I guess, this move to me wasn't made with they think that Joe Tooney doesn't have good football left or personal reasons. I think this was strictly business. I think they looked at their spreadsheet and, hey, where can we trim a little bit of fat? Where can we kind of move some money around and take money from left guard and put it to a different position? And ultimately they did that, letting Joe Tooney go play for the Chicago Bears.
Well, I think overall, man, when you look at all these decisions, I think a lot of times I hear a lot of the noise from the outside talking about what they would have done or what the Chiefs should do or whose decision it was and all these kind of different things. Well, I think me and you have to be very clear on what our determination on when it comes to keeping a player, extending them, the value of a player as they get older. I'm pretty clear with you, and I let you know that I think that there's always a plateau. As you approach 30, the majority of teams in the NFL feels like that your prime is beyond you. So the opportunity for a player beyond the age of 30 of signing an extension or getting some type of contract done is very unique. It's very rare. Obviously, you have to be like one of one. So Travis Kelce is our one of one. That's the one guy who pretty much gets to play with the Chiefs as long as he wants to. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes will probably fall into that category again. So you can't have two, right? Two unicorns don't fit on one team, right? And so to think that we're going to do the same thing at guard, I know at the end of the season, me and you talked about the flexibility of his position, being a guard that can play tackle, the value of a lineman that can do that, and how valuable not only he was to the Chiefs, but before the Chiefs with the Patriots. So him going from one dynasty to another and understanding how to be one of the top level players in his position, yes, you would think that guy can garner a extension from somebody. Well, the team that's going to give you that extension is not going to be a team that won three Super Bowls in 4 years or has had the run that the Chiefs have had over the last five or six seasons. It's a team that's trying to get into that era, and that's what you find with the Chicago Bears, a team that's willing to do something that's, I would say, when you're talking about building a roster, building a team, I don't know if that's a linchpin. I don't know if that's a cornerstone, a keystone for an organization when you're talking about aging players. But that's something that, you know, they made two trades for two offensive linemen. So obviously they thought that one of the weaknesses of their team was the offensive line. They got up and rising generational talent at quarterback. And so they want to give him some protection to see if it's if the offensive line's inability to protect him, was that the reason he was throwing late and off schedule and everything? Or is it really just his own lack of ability to throw on time? And until you know that, you got until his contract's up to determine whether you're going to extend him or search for a new quarterback. So I think the Bears did it's a win-win because, like you said, what it did, it opened up $14, $15 million for us to use in this year. We got a fourth-round pick in 2026, and I think that's a very important key aspect of this because, as you know, I do a lot of, I'm preparing myself for the combine and the draft. And so when I look at the draft this year, I didn't see this year's draft as being a really very good draft to be drafting at the end of the first round trying to get a tackle. And so if you ask me which between this draft, 2025 and 2026, I would rather be drafting a high-end tackle at the end of a round in 2026 because it's about four or five guys who have a first-round grade in that draft. So if you're asking me, I think that, being ahead of the curve type scenario, the Chiefs are preparing maybe some assets to be able to get into the top 10, top 15 in 2026 if they're still in a situation where they need to go get a left tackle.
At least for me, I think it's hard to give the Chiefs a grade right now, and I think you have to give them incomplete, is because the Bears got something tangible. Like, the Bears got a proven NFL player that we have seen play at an incredibly high level, whether it's in New England or in Kansas City. Right now, what the Chiefs have is cap space. We haven't seen how they plan on using the cap space. And they also have a draft pick, and we have to see how they use it. Are they going to use that as ammunition to move up in the draft? Are they going to take that player? Do they move back? So at least for Kansas City, I think we have to kind of see what happens. I think everybody is anticipating what that next move can be at left tackle. Rob and I are on different sides of the argument. Rob wants them to go get Ronnie Stanley.
That's why Rob is not in the studio. That's why Rob stays in that production booth.
A lot of people want them to go get Ronnie Stanley.
A lot of people should be in the booth with Rob.
Nate Taylor thinks they're going to get him.
Nick Wright thinks they're going to get him. Nick Wright should be in the booth. Everybody that thinks that the Chiefs should go. Listen, what is the use? We talk about it all the time. The best ability is what?
Availability.
When you look at Ronnie Stanley over the last four seasons,
he's not been an available player.
So that's the end of the conversation. If you tell me the best ability for an NFL player is availability, why in the God's green earth would we ever even consider investing that type of money in someone who hasn't proven to be available? That's the number one concern for me. So
I think the argument would be this, and I hate to be making the argument of Ronnie Stanley because you and I are on the same side, but that is the lot I have in life. All of the options that they currently have, at least from a veteran standpoint, I would say all struggle with the exact same thing. Let's say you go get Cam Robinson. He struggled with this a little bit in the past. Let's say you go get Tyron Smith. Let's say you go get DJ Humphries. Like, there's just not really a great option, I think, for them at left tackle. But Ronnie Stanley, at least for the 2025 season, I think you can make the argument that he is the best option. I don't want them to go get Ronnie Stanley. I'm with you. I don't think that spending that amount of resources on a 31-year-old who has been healthy one season in the last five is the best thing to do. I would draft a left tackle this upcoming season. I would have DJ Humphreys. May the best man win the position. And I would just continue to be looking, whether it's in next year's draft or whenever, of trying to find somebody that you think you can plug in over there for the next 3 to 5 seasons. But I'm just not sure that that guy is available in 2025.
And it's okay. If he's not available, it's okay. Like, you stick with what you have in the room. The known components that we have in the room are what? We got Juwan Taylor. And don't tell me he's a tackle. We have Taylor, who's a tackle. We got Wanye, who's a tackle. We got Trey Smith, who's a guard. We got, I'm not going to pronounce his name, BYU.
Yeah, Kingsley Suamati.
Right,
yeah.
He's going to be a guard. We got Creed Humphreys, who's a center. So what is wrong with that being our starting lineup going into the season? Are you telling me that that lineup can't do what this lineup did this season?
I think the Chiefs are terrified of that offensive line that you're talking about.
What's terrifying about it?
I mean, they had every opportunity to move Juwan Taylor over at left tackle. They've never shown that they're interested in left tackle. They had Wanye Morris on the team last year at left tackle. He couldn't beat Kingsley Suamataia out at that position. So that tells me everything I need to know about how you guys feel about Wanye Morris at left tackle. I think he might be a little bit suited as right. I would say for the most part, they have everything they need on their roster except one thing. Now, they need to make some improvements, right? They don't have enough wide receivers. They don't have enough linebackers. That's what the draft and what the offseason is for. But right now, this team does not have a starting left tackle currently on their roster in any of the 90 spots, and they should go find one.
Right, okay, well, me and you differ on that, because I think that pouring money into something like if it's not out there, it's not available, you don't have a 28-year-old Trent Williams to back up the Brinks.
Yeah, that guy doesn't exist.
Okay, so he's not there. No matter how much money you want to spend, the asset, the left tackle you're trying to go get, he does not exist. He's not available from free agency. So what you're going to end up doing is taking the people in your room, making the best situation out of it, finding a way for those players to fit in and play. You're going to probably have a season or a great season where we got to get some guys playing above their years, get them some snaps, right? The guard from BYU, when he goes to guard, we got to get him some more game snaps.
Can you win the Super Bowl with that offensive line? Because I'm saying let's say that they go with your strategy and they're going to keep it mostly in-house. I saw what their in-house offensive line looked like in the Super Bowl, and they got dominated. You bring everybody back.
You cannot buy a Super Bowl. So going out with his hopes and dreams that you go get Ronnie Stanley, and somehow he does something he hasn't done in 3 of the last 5 seasons, which is play half the season, and all of a sudden you're going to put all your chips on that player being not only available, but also being a better pass blocker when he's coming from an offense that don't pass the ball. Like, he's coming from a run-first offense to begin with. So the opportunity of him being the number one tackle available is a product of there being no other options. It's not like he has a great grade. He's not graded as a top tackle. He's just the number one rated one in this pool of free agents. So, no, I would not give $100 million in, 20 – I don't even know how much a year that guy's going to get.
It's going to be a lot.
Right, like that just doesn't.
Yeah, somebody's gonna give Ronnie Stanley a lot.
That doesn't make sense to me to do that for. Again, the return on my investment is way more unknown. I would rather, if you ask me, I would rather see if Taylor
and move him to left.
And to me, if I'm looking at Taylor and I'm having a discussion with him, why all his career he hasn't shown the want to move to left. He considers himself a right tackle. Well, now he's going into the last year of a deal, and guess what? We have shown that we don't resign aging veterans, right? That's what the Chiefs, that's what they have proven.
Yeah, Juwan's not going to be on the team for 2 seasons, just one more.
All right, so what resume sounds better to you as Juwan Taylor? A guy who plays only right, so the only teams that can come after you is teams needing a right tackle, or a guy who showed the flexibility to move to the left, even if he plays it like the 30th tackle in the league, it still shows he has flexibility to do both. That makes him a more desirable product going into a contract year.
He can't get the snap count right on that other side. You, he can get it wrong on the other side.
No, I'm not letting you do that.
I'm just saying he can't get it right on that
Stephen
one
A,
side.
Stephen A, I'm not going to.
That's only what happens. Rob and I have not been on the same page really at any point this offseason.
That's a great thing for you.
We are very much on the opposite side.
That's a great thing for you.
I would like the Chiefs to make an attempt to go get DK Metcalf. He is a 27-year-old number one wide receiver in the league.
I'm on Rob's side now. Like, I'm converting. I'm team Rob. Bro, there's too many things off the field. There's a notion that when it comes to, like, certain days of practice, I'm not saying that he just don't practice. Like, he just, like, emotionally becomes, like, not ready to practice. I'm saying that, like, there's word that, like, he just doesn't show up on the practice field. Like, he goes places, go get a coffee. Like, he's going to get his mind right. Like, my mind isn't clear. I need some time. I got to go get my mind.
But let me ask you this. Can I ask you a question real quick about this? This
all
in relation
the
to
stuff
that.
That's going on in the league. You saw the Chiefs win a Super Bowl with what some people thought was the worst wide receiver group you've ever seen on an NFL team.
It was not strong.
But when the playoffs came, Rashee Rice turned it on. He became a man child and all these other things. And they ended up winning the Super Bowl, right? So why do you keep considering this offense lacking something? You keep talking about you want to give Pat this true number one. And, you know, he hasn't had a number one since Tyreek Hill.
Because when Pat was his best, he had players that were in their prime. Like, when you think of ideal Patrick Mahomes, he had peak Travis Kelce and peak Tyreek Hill. And since they have taken those weapons away and he doesn't have that anymore,
he's been different.
But really quick, though, I want to ask you this, though, about wide receiver, though.
Okay.
Aren't some of the characteristics you were talking to me about DK Metcalf, isn't this just something what you kind of have to put up with the star wide receiver? I just saw A.J. Brown in the Super Bowl. He was reading books on the sideline. He was reading books. You play in the NFL. You never played with the guy who in the middle of the game just started reading books on the sideline. The Chiefs had Tyreek Hill on their team. I don't want to know some of the Tyreek Hill stories they got from behind the scenes. We can talk about Odell Beckham. Isn't this just kind of what you have to deal with? Is just a position group that is just going to think and move a little bit differently?
Did you hear what I said about not showing up at practice? Like, just not showing up. You can read a book on a sideline in the game.
But
you
he was there.
He's there.
That's fair. He was there.
Tyreek Hill, I've seen him with a hurt ankle, hip. I've seen him hopping around, still catching the ball for us. On the field, between the white, he gave guys everything. I have never seen either of those two players, and there's a laundry list of other great receivers that physically might not have the skill, the capability of a DK Metcalf. But why would you ever invite a divisive headache into your locker room? Like that makes no sense for me. When you've been so successful for so many years, eliminating that kind of distraction. If there's one aspect to coaching, being a general manager, being a NFL scout, one of the things you try to do is eliminate distractions. Unless you're totally telling me that, like, whatever happens, happens. As long as he shows up on the field,
but I guess though,
whatever happens, happens.
But aren't distractions part of it? I mean, on this team, their star tight end pushed their coach during the Super Bowl.
Oh, Lord.
That happened during the Super Bowl. After winning the Super Bowl, their number one wide receiver turned into Paul Walker. Like, I'm just saying is, some of these things, aren't they just characteristics you got to deal with to have a super competitive football team? I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying if we're saying is eliminate distractions, I'm just not sure how good your football team's going to be if that's your number one priority is to 100% eliminate distractions.
All right, Rob, I'm seeing what you're dealing with here now, Rob. I was wondering what it was like to sit here and talk football with somebody who hasn't played since Pee Wee. And some of the –
Hold on. You're looking for Rob to identify with you on that? When's the last time you think Rob played football?
Where do you think Rob played in high school?
Where do you think Rob played?
Rob's like 6'6", man. He looked like an athlete. Yeah, he probably probably played sophomore, 11th grade football. And
I just
some
beat
basketball.
Rob in college football earlier today. Why are you even talking to him?
That's video games, man.
Yeah.
We're talking about
you
real.
You want to know why? Because I out-schemed him. That's why.
Are you gonna let me know real quick. No, for real. What level of football did you play? Up to when?
You want to know when I stopped playing football? When I saw they was tackling each other. You think I'm about to let that kid run into me and knock me to the ground? Hey, I'm going to do something else. All I'm right, not so, going so to do that. They tackling each other.
So you need to leave your stuff. Don't talk about what's going on the field. Don't talk about the mindset and mentality to play the game, because you are really far-fetched from that. I'm just telling you that being a distraction to a team is not something that you want to invite in any way. And if somebody is known to be that at an extreme level, that's an extreme version of it. I think that would be a detriment to a lot of things that were built. It's been a lot of building a certain process here, an expectation of really good football. Enter as teammates, but you exit and go on the season as a family. Distractions, they break down all of those type of rules and standards. I don't see any team that's won as many games as the Chiefs over the last 5 or 6 seasons that want to go back to, you know, like starting around that type of attitude or that type of player. So I'm saying a hard no against DK Metcalf. I'm saying a hard no against Stanley because of his age and because of his inability to stay healthy.
What's a position group that you – I'll get you out of here with this.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We didn't even get to talk about the Browns.
I mean, you had a short period of time to be here.
We didn't get to talk about the Browns. You know,
you want to stay and talk about the Browns? If you want to stay, we can talk about the
afterwards,
Browns.
Because I do feel a personal little thing about it.
What's a position that you like for them to go after? My big thing is I want them to be more explosive on offense. And I think that people think that explosiveness from your offense only comes from the quarterback. Sure, that's part of it. But explosiveness comes from having explosive pieces around them. So improving your running game, improving the weapons around the quarterback, and giving them more viable options to throw the ball to, where, to me, this team hasn't significantly invested in running back or wide receiver the last 3 off seasons. So this off season, when you're kind of starting over in both rooms, they only have 1 running back under contract right now. Spend a little bit of money and improve the room. Don't just go get Jerick McKinnon or Samaje Perine on their last leg. Go get a guy who's got a little bit of juice left in that wide receiver room. Why not try to give Pat the best wide receiver room in the National Football League? Why is it your plan to give the number 1 quarterback in the league the 19th best wide receiver room? Imagine what would happen if you gave him the 9th best wide receiver room. It could actually be really special offensively. I've seen it before.
There's been one ingredient for both of our seasons ending not good. And if you talk about not good, it's, you know, we lose it in the Super Bowl,
yes.
Right? Over the past few years, it was, you know, a breakdown in the offensive line room, whether, you know. So If you're asking me what position do we need to go after, then I would say every year we continue to just get deeper and get more skilled and get younger and get more hungry and get more athletic at the offensive line position. You just continue to pour more resources into the offensive line position, and then those same running backs, the same wide receivers and tight ends that you in your calculation feel like are the 19th or whatever rank they are, you still can put up great numbers, and you protect one of the most valuable assets in the NFL, which is Patrick Mahomes. If you want to go away from that on the offensive side of the ball, you can always get yourself an edge rusher. You can always get yourself another cover corner, and you can always go after a late-round linebacker or a safety. So I don't think you can go wrong with any of those moves, but if you ask me in the first, second, or third round of any NFL draft, offensive tackle, a cover corner, and an edge rusher, those are the three positions. You can switch them up and shuffle them any way you want, but those are the only positions I would ever go after if you're talking about in the first, second, or third round of the draft.
Those are always going to be the meat and potatoes. Hitting on those, the value of it is just really, really big.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.